Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Monday, September 26th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the memorial of the martyrs, Saints Cosmas and Damian. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us this morning on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's good to be with you. I hope you had a great weekend. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the stories making headlines on this Monday morning?
Well, talking hurricanes this week, John, is Florida bracing. Florida under a state of emergency. Every county in the state there. Tropical Storm Ian is a hurricane this morning, Category 1. Tampa Mayor Jane Castor says her city is doing what it can to prepare.
Again, we can't control Mother Nature, but we are going to be prepared and we're going to inform our community, get them evacuated out of the danger zones if necessary.
Yeah, so the state getting ready once again, John.
Yeah, absolutely. And from what I understand, this now Hurricane Ian is hitting western Cuba as we speak. So the entire state of Florida is bracing for what could be a major hurricane, Glenn.
Yeah, expecting landfall Wednesday into Thursday, perhaps. One common track has it landing just a little bit northwest of Tampa.
And as you said, we've been talking about hurricanes this past week. Now Tropical Storm Fiona has done quite a bit of damage, especially in eastern Canada. A ton of people, hundreds of thousands without power as we speak.
Yeah, an area so far north doesn't usually get hurricane force winds. Usually things have kind of moved on out to the Atlantic. But eastern Canada is still with hundreds of thousands without power as of yesterday. Trees knocked down, heavy rainfall, those hurricane force winds again in Nova Scotia, an area that doesn't normally see that heavy of hurricane activity being so far north.
Well, this was a fun weekend for this reporter, a baseball weekend. I watched my son play some fall ball this weekend, which was a blast. But I also kept my eye on the two home run races in Major League Baseball. Quest for 700 home runs by Albert Pujols, and obviously Aaron Judge trying to surpass the legendary Roger Maris for the American League record. In case you missed it, Albert Pujols did make history on Friday night. He blasted number 700, his 700th career home run. Listen to the St. Louis Cardinals call by John Rooney and Danny Mac on KMOX radio.
Pujols with the widespread stance, arms out over the plate. Bickford from the stretch. The 1-1 pitch. A swing, and there it goes! Left field, way back! That's home run number 700! Pujols hits a three-run homer, and he hit 699 and 700 at Dodger Stadium on September 23rd, 2022. 8:23 p.m. Pacific time.
Every Cardinal is out of the dugout congratulating Albert Pujols. The Dodgers are on the top step clapping for their former teammate and friend who they honored before the game today. Everybody in the ballpark is standing. What a great moment, a Hollywood moment here in LA. And Albert has been writing Hollywood moments all summer long, and you can add this one to the list. 700 home runs for the great Albert Pujols.
A team meeting in front of the Cardinal dugout. Hugs all over the place for Albert Pujols as he celebrates 700 career home runs. Barry Bonds, 762. Hank Aaron, 755. Babe Ruth, 714. Albert Pujols, 700.
What a special moment, Glenn. It was really amazing. Just a tremendous moment. And I know you, as a baseball lover, enjoyed it.
You know, only four guys in history getting to that level, and to be able to come back to the team that he had so much success with over the years, and do that in his final regular season, just an amazing thing. And like you said, the appreciation too for the Los Angeles fans, played half a season for the Dodgers last year, but they're baseball fans, and any baseball fan just has to appreciate that.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the country, at Yankee Stadium last night, all eyes on Aaron Judge. He didn't tie the record of Roger Maris, but it was still every time he comes up to bat, it's a moment.
Yeah, they're saying how the entire stadium stops, watches him, and then even when his at bat's over, and even if the Yankees are still up, everybody goes about the rest of their stadium enjoying business. But it all stops when he's up, and the rain stopped him last night. He was going to have a fourth at bat, expected to be up next for the Yankees, but things were called after six innings. Yankees did win, by the way, as they continue to make their push, and they're in the playoffs now for the umpteenth time in the umpteenth year. It's just what New York does, but that quest to tie Roger Maris continues. His family in attendance, ever since he was at 59, to kind of watch and see what happens, and salute baseball as well.
Great, great moments, and it reminds me, reminiscent of Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire back in 1998. Only these guys are not, controversial with the whole steroid question. So it makes it even better.
Yeah, just it's great to see people chasing those records, especially if your team happens to be out of it. You can cheer for some other stuff.
For sure. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin every hour always in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings, and always through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from 2 Timothy 4:7. The Apostle St. Paul writes, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved him. The Apostle St. Paul uses the language of sports and athletics in several of his epistles. Paul visualized our life as a marathon, not a sprint. We must go the distance, much like a marathoner, and finish the race. If we run for the Lord and stay faithful, if we love Jesus, then we will reach our ultimate finish line, heavenly paradise with Jesus, the Lord, the merciful judge, our Blessed Mother Mary, St. Joseph, and all of the angels and saints. And we always pray, with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. Our email is morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number, if you want to be part of our conversation this morning, 888-914-9149. Now, this morning, we're going to continue with our series on the sacraments with our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters. Today, we're going to talk about what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says about the sacrament of confirmation. Father Burke is the pastor of St. Isaac Jogues Parish in Hinsdale, Illinois, the Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain known as the baseball priest, and of course, a regular contributor of Morning Air. Good morning, Father Burke. Thanks for joining us on another Monday. Great to be with you.
Good morning, John. Great to be with you, too, and listening to the call of Albert Pujols' 700th home run. I was watching the MLB channel that night, and Greg Ansinger, one of the announcers on that show, they showed a clip back on April 13th, and he predicted that Albert Pujols would hit his seventh home run on a Friday night in September in Dodger Stadium. he said against Clayton Kershaw. So that was the only part of his prediction that was wrong. Kershaw pitched the next day. But I thought, wow, what a prediction that was.
The man is a prophet. It's got to be exciting for you as a former professional player and now MLB Cubs chaplain to see such a special moment for a player that's, you know, beloved by so many people.
Yeah, he's one of those players who, you know, you never hear anything bad about. It always seems like he's been a great teammate wherever he's gone, a good citizen. And so for him to reach that achievement, you know, it's hard for us to imagine, you know, four players in the history of baseball reaching that level. It's pretty incredible achievement. And again, he's in the area where they've checked steroids. So, you know, he's, you know, presumably been clean his whole career.
Have you also been keeping an eye on Aaron Judge, another extremely popular player, well-liked, and a guy who has been having just an incredible season? He's just one away from catching Roger Maris.
Absolutely. It's very exciting and great for the game of baseball. You know, I was thinking about this last night as, you know, the popularity of football has just, you know, exploded in our country. Some baseball used to be America's sport, but things like this, I think, are just great for the sport. And I'm hoping that he can break the American League record. And of course, in many people's eyes, with the steroids, with some other players, he might be the one that holds the record for home runs if he surpasses Maris.
Well, I have a good feeling that he's going to do it. He's got all the rest of this week, and I think that it's going to happen. It's just, you know, there's obviously a lot of pressure on this young man.
I think he has 10 games left, and I remember watching a documentary on Roger Maris, and they said he, you know, as a young man in this, under the pressure of, you know, he was trying to, you know, surpass Babe Ruth, he was losing his hair. That's how stressful it was. And so I'm hoping that Judge can break the record soon and that he can relax a little bit. It is a lot of pressure.
Sounds good. Well, Father Burke, you and I could talk baseball for a long time, but we're scheduled to talk about the Sacrament of Confirmation as we continue your series on the sacraments. Let's talk about the purpose of the Sacrament of Confirmation.
Sure. Yeah, the purpose of confirmation is to connect us to the graces of baptism. You know, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about baptism and confirmation connects us back to that. It's one of the three sacraments of Christian initiation. So we have baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, and it's receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So we can trace this back to Acts chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. Just read it quickly. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down to these people and prayed that they might receive the Holy Spirit. It had not as yet come down upon any of them, since they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so these people had been baptized, but they sent the apostles, so the original bishops, to lay hands on the people to receive the Holy Spirit. So we believe that in baptism we receive the Holy Spirit, and God claims us as his adopted children. But the fullness of this happens in confirmation, that it's a connection to the first Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles. And that's why it's part of the Christian initiation. It connects us to baptism, and we receive the outpouring again of the Holy Spirit upon the confirmandi.
St. Paul tells us that without the Holy Spirit, we cannot say that Jesus is Lord. Can you talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in terms of salvation?
Yeah, so if we think about this, in baptism and in confirmation, receiving the very life of God in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, Scripture says, groans within us when we don't even know how to pray. It's like God is in us, leading us back to the Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God the Father, always connected. And so the Holy Spirit is always moving us, through the great gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit enlightens our minds to know the good and strengthens our will to choose the good. And so that's how the Spirit guides us to salvation, helping us to know what to do and giving us the strength to do it. So whenever we're in difficult situations or maybe confusing situations, it's so important that we can pray a little prayer that come Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts, words, and actions so that all that we may do may be towards God and for the glory of God.
And Father Burke, as you probably have noticed, we don't ever start an hour here on Morning Air without invoking the Holy Spirit and saying that precise prayer, come Holy Spirit, just that moment of invoking and asking the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts.
No, it's beautiful. And it's three words, it's such a simple prayer, but such a powerful prayer. And I remember as I kind of was coming into the church at the age of 18, I didn't have, nobody can have a full understanding of the Holy Spirit because God is God. But I always prayed to Jesus, and I would forget to pray to the Holy Spirit because I didn't understand the Holy Spirit. And when we can imagine Jesus through the scriptures, we have shows like The Chosen and The Passion of Christ to imagine what Jesus looked like, what he did. But the Holy Spirit is difficult for us. But boy, as I've grown older and realizing that, wow, that Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that descended upon Jesus in the Jordan River at his baptism resides in me. And through my baptism and confirmation, the Holy Spirit wants to enliven my life in such a way that and that's part of confirmation, as we were strengthened in this mission of Christ. We talked about in baptism that we are grafted onto the body of Christ, and where the head goes in this mystical body, Jesus is the head of the church, the body will follow. And so to call upon this Holy Spirit and say, Lord, lead me. I want to be your missionary. I want to go where you send me. I want to speak the words that you give to me. And the Holy Spirit will act if we surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit's guidance.
Father Burke, how does the sacrament of confirmation help us to mature in our understanding of our faith and go past a basic level?
Yeah, so there's two traditions in the church. In the Eastern Church, they receive baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist all together. And in the West, as kind of a sign that, the bishop is the original and ordinary minister of the sacrament of confirmation, they would wait until the bishop could do it. And so that's how in the West we've separated the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. And so, as we prepare for the sacrament, it's a preparation for this fullness of the Holy Spirit to guide us along the way, to strengthen us, and so it's really meant for us to become the apostles, which means, so there's a couple important words here. So Christian, Christ means to be anointed, and so the name of Christian for us is we are anointed. And so part of the confirmation rite is that we are anointed with the sacred chrism. We receive an indelible mark, just like in the sacrament of baptism. We receive an indelible mark in confirmation as well, which means we don't receive the sacrament again. And then the sacrament strengthens us to be the missionaries that God calls us to be.
And in the Acts of the Apostles, we see the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. This is one of the reasons why the Acts of the Apostles are also known as the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, exactly. I love, when Jesus promised his disciples, he said, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to do the things that I've done and even greater things beyond. And so we need to stop and think about that, that Jesus healed the sick, he raised people from the dead, and now he's saying that through this Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that is, you know, a part of the Holy Trinity, you and I can do the same. And so you look at the Acts of the Apostles and think about Peter and John were walking to the temple to pray in the afternoon. And remember, there was a lame man. He was asking for alms. And Peter said, gold and silver I don't have, but what I do give you in the power of the Holy Spirit, rise and walk. And so through the power of the Holy Spirit, they could do the same things Jesus was doing. And I think sometimes we lose that sense that we as Christians, as those being anointed in Christ, have that same Holy Spirit within us. And not that we, you know, we may not be able to go around and heal people, but maybe we can if we trust enough in the Holy Spirit. So I know I've had a couple of experiences when I've anointed people and the anointing of the sick, which we'll talk about, you know, in coming weeks. But people have been healed, and I know it's not me, but I know it is the power of God, the Holy Spirit working in and through me. So just want to encourage our listeners to call upon the Holy Spirit and trust that God wants to work in and through you through, you know, the sacraments of baptism and confirmation.
Father Burke, a final thought on the beauty of this sacrament. When a bishop lays hands on someone who's receiving the sacrament, when they're anointing that person, we're connected all the way back to the apostles through apostolic succession. I always remember when I see a bishop in confirmation, the connection to the 12 apostles.
Yeah, and we see that in Scripture where, you know, that was the ordination, right, where they would lay hands on people. They'd call down the Holy Spirit upon the next bishops. And that was a powerful thing, again, for me coming into the church, was seeing that succession from the time of the apostles to, you know, the early church. And we'll talk, you know, we'll talk about the church fathers. And then still to today, that the bishops today can trace their kind of spiritual lineage all the way back to the apostles, which is such a beautiful thing in the church.
Well, without the Holy Spirit, we can do so little. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need the sacrament of confirmation. And I truly appreciate your teachings and spiritual perspective, as always, Father.
Always great to be with you, John, and blessings to you and all your listeners today.
Thanks so much. Father Burke Masters, the pastor of St. Isaac Jogues Parish in Hinsdale, Illinois, suburban Chicago, and the Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, we're going to switch gears and talk about money. Our financial expert, Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management, will join us to talk about the latest with gold and inflation. So stay with us as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now it's time to talk about money, financial matters, through a Catholic and spiritual perspective. On Friday, the Dow dropped nearly 500 points to close at a new low, below 30,000 for the first time since June 17th, and that is on the rising recession fears that many are dealing with these days. Today, we're going to be continuing our conversation about gold with Bill Ulivieri and talk about inflation and the historic high interest rates. Bill will also give us some practical ways on how to deal with this economy. Bill Ulivieri is an investment fiduciary and the owner of Senecal Capital Management. Bill specializes in providing independent 401k advice and portfolio management. Good morning, Bill. Thanks so much for joining us once again. Great to be with you this morning.
Oh, John, thanks for having me on again. You've given me a big mandate to talk about a lot of things this morning.
Well, Bill, money is absolutely on the minds of a lot of folks around our country, with the talk about inflation heating up over these last few months, actually over the last, couple of years. Many are still wondering why gold has not lived up to its reputation, as we started to talk about last time.
Right. Well, John, gold does have a reputation, this mindset of being an inflation hedge. And, I just want to begin with a quote from the famous money manager, Peter Lynch, who was in charge of Fidelity's Magellan Fund. I think everybody who's been involved with mutual funds for some time is familiar with Fidelity and their Magellan Fund. And he said, far more money has been lost in preparing or anticipating corrections than has been lost in the corrections themselves. So what happens is, the most valuable asset, right? Now, again, this is from a financial side, the most valuable asset that fully captures the human spirit, human ingenuity is, it's not gold, it's not silver, it's not lithium for batteries, it is equities in the U.S. stock market. I mean, so what I think we're seeing right now and setting up for will be, again, another important run that's above the stock market trend line. So it's hard to talk about things because investing is every bit as emotional as it is fundamental. But gold is this really quirky thing where if gold was really an inflation hedge, I mean, it would be positive on the year instead of being down 21 or 22% this year in 2022. It just seems to me that if you were to overlay a chart of gold with the S&P 500, yeah, there's a few times where gold kind of goes in an opposite direction of the market. But for the most part, when gold declines, money moves out of the inflation hedges into the stock market. And gold just doesn't have that type of hedge protection as everybody thinks it does. It's kind of like risk on. Risk on is you can buy stocks, you can buy bonds, you can buy gold, you can maybe buy silver, which is down even more, 55 or 60% from its highs recently. So, we have to separate the noise from actual data. And I think that's where gold fails, is that the stock market continues to pay dividends, it continues to grow, it continues to express itself monetarily in the way that human beings are creative. And we are going to come up with a solution for this, and the market's going to stop on its heels, turn around and rally and make a new high, just like it does every single couple of years. So it's just the way the market is built. Gold isn't built that way. Gold is meant, and we talked about this on the last episode where we had the servant that buried his gold talents out of fear. Was it fear for the master? Was it fear for losing money? The other two servants traded their gold, traded it for shekels, traded it for wheat, traded their gold for olive oil. Like, who knows? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say exactly what they did with the gold. Other than we know is that they probably sold it and they did something else with it. And then maybe they converted it back at the very end and handed it to the master. But we don't really know for sure. But I would say, yes, they probably did. So gold was a beginning point. It was an ending point, but it had to be sold and traded and flipped for something else. Otherwise, the parable doesn't make sense to me.
I know that you're very high on the stock market. Does it concern you when you hear all of the noise, all of the news, especially on Friday, about what's going on with the market going under 30,000 for the first time since back in June, dropping 500 points at the close?
I don't mean to be flippant, John, when I say it's just a number. But why does a round number have any fundamental economic reason, right? Why did you guys choose 9:50 a.m. instead of like 9:60 a.m. in Chicago? Why is that number so significant? I don't really know. It's just a number. It doesn't really mean anything. But again, let's take a look at, I don't know how many people who are listening are science fiction fans, But in the movie The Matrix, there was this opening scene where the police department is trying to arrest one of the main characters named Trinity. And the agents, who are the really bad guys in The Matrix, show up and say, you know, Lieutenant, your men were told to stay and wait here for us. Like, don't get involved. And the police lieutenant, who's, you know, kind of cocky, old school, kind of New York-y, Bronx-y kind of guy, says, it's just one little girl. We sent two teams up to arrest her, and we're taking her into custody right now. And the FBI agent, the agent of The Matrix, says, no, Lieutenant, your men are already dead. And that is the analogy I'm using right now for the stock market. And what I mean is, I think inflation, it's on its way to being dead and slayed. We just don't know it yet, right? So the best hedge, if you look at gold, silver, lumber, natural gas, crude oil, corn, wheat, soybeans, nickel, high-grade copper, virtually every single asset class that we consider inflationary, it's down huge since the Federal Reserve started raising interest rates. The best hedge against inflation is the S&P 500. The best hedge against inflation is the Russell 2000.
It sounds like we have lost our connection with Bill Ulivieri, and we are going to try to reconnect with Bill. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation. We're going to try to reconnect with Bill here in a moment. Stay with us. There's more to come on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Can't buy me love. Can't buy me love. You feel all right. I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. For I don't care too much for money, for money can't buy me love.
And welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning as we continue our conversation with Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management. We're talking about inflation and gold. Bill, welcome back. We lost you there for a moment. You started to share with us a story about inflation.
Right. So what I wanted to impress upon is that, you know, if you look at this, the conversation of inflation during or deflation, you know, we're always worried about the market. John and I, you and I are always having a conversation about treat the stock market as if it was a can of tuna or your favorite item that you pick up at a grocery store. And right now, stocks are on sale. And one thing I find very, very interesting, and that is, again, because I believe investing is more of an emotional behavior than it is like a completely fundamental or mathematical equation per se. And that is, if you look at the sentiment, it's a survey by the American Association of Independent Investors. They have this interesting chart, an interesting database that goes back years and years and years. And that is like how bullish, how bearish, how positive, how negative are investors. And right now that level of bulls, people who are bullish on the economy, bullish on the stock market, that number sits at about 17.5. Well, what does that mean? Because it's just a number. Well, if you go back historically, this number is lower than it was during the pandemic. It's lower than the pandemic low. It's lower than it was during COVID. It's lower than it was during the 2009 Great Recession. And I remember that was really bad, right? And it was lower during the transition from Obama to the Trump era, right, as president. And so right now, going back 10, 12, 15 years, the sentiment of investors is just about the lowest it's ever been. And what comes on the other side of that, John? What comes on the other side of that is incredible optimism. And that comes when the market stops, turns around, and begins to rally again. So that's where we're at. You know, this clock that ticks back and forth like a pendulum. We saw it, you know, at the very high level in maybe 2021 and 2018, and then it peels back to the far left side of the clock, and that's where we're at right now. So what I'm doing with my own clients is we're focusing on things that we can do to take advantage of those current market conditions.
because that's where the opportunity is. The conversation for inflation, listen, I'm not saying that prices at the pump still aren't high. I'm not saying that I'm paying way more for eggs than I was a couple of years ago. What I'm saying is that the gas pump and the grocery store are the last two places you get to see inflation change, right? So we're already seeing prices decline from the mid $4 a gallon, high $4 per gallon, down into the $3.50, $3.70 area around here in the Glenview area. Prices at the food counter, you know, at the grocery store, not so much, but we are seeing some deals, you know, at the store. So again, we have to shift our mindset and be ahead of the curve and not be too focused in inflation. I'm sorry, not be so focused on inflation and take tactical changes to our portfolio there, but be open to the next bull market above trend line, glorious rally that has happened every 2 years or every 4 years since time began. I mean, at least since the United States began.
And obviously, no matter what the numbers are, if you don't take the money out of your investments, you haven't lost anything. It's all on paper.
I know. And again, it's, I don't mean to sound flippant when I say that, but it is an unrealized loss if you are keeping it in the portfolio. And this is kind of what we sign up for, right? When you sell, then you lock in the loss. And I am, believe me, John, I am not as this perpetual perma bullish person on the market. I've given my sell signals and my buy signals, you know, over the years. But again, we have to be open-minded to the possibility that the Federal Reserve is working and they're doing the right thing and they're getting inflation under control. And from my perspective, I'm not going to say inflation is dead, but it certainly has been, I think it's beginning to be tamed, looking at the incredible decline in all the commodities and the things that we have to buy, the raw materials, right? They say in the world of commodities that the cure for high prices is high prices. Why? Because manufacturing comes up and starts, you know, meeting the demand with more supply. You know, like now what we're suggesting for investors is that you consider increasing, not decreasing, but increasing your 401k monthly contributions. Because if the Federal Reserve wins, and they almost always do, the Federal Reserve will win this game against inflation, as it always does, and inflation gets tamed, you're going to see a rip-roaring rally in the stock market and the bond market. It's going to be a biblical rally, John, because that's kind of what always happens, right? High-grade corporate bonds are yielding like 4.8, almost 5%. The earnings yield of the S&P 500 is 5.5%, roughly right about here with the market decline. So, again, I can't pick a bottom. I don't know when the low is eventually going to go in. I just know that I have not seen sentiment and at greater levels than almost in history, at least in the last, you know, 15 years or so. This usually is the recipe for an incredibly positive stock market action. So as I always like to say with John Paul II, do not be afraid. I mean, someone is handing you a great inflationary thing right now, right? An asset. Stocks, and we have to take advantage of it. And if I know it's painful, I'm not trying to paint over the fact that our portfolio is down because stocks and bonds and commodities are all down recently. So I'm not trying to put any perfume on that pig. I'm just saying that there's nothing more glorious that investors can be doing right now than to perhaps be adding to their portfolio in this deflationary time period that I see happening, you know, in 2022.
We're joined this morning by Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management, and we're talking about inflation and we were talking about gold. You know, you've been at this for a long time, Bill, the financial business. What do you see as the relationship right now between Main Street and Wall Street?
Wow, that's really a great question. The relationship, well, you know, listen, being in Wall Street, I have to say, wow, the difference between Main Street and Wall Street, that is really an excellent question. I will see people struggling today. I see people having a very, very tough time making ends meet. I see people working two and three jobs, actually trying to make ends meet. And I mean, it's not easy. It's really, really hard. But I've also kind of seen that most of my life, John. I mean, my dad was a machinist and worked two jobs. you know, like in my circle of friends are not people that are members of golf clubs and shooting clubs. I mean, my friends are working, you know, two jobs and their wives are working, and it's a struggle to send kids to school. And Wall Street, you know, Wall Street does its own thing. It's the, I even though I'm in this business, I don't find myself aligning my social network with people that are involved, in financial services and in Wall Street. Oh gosh, John, you really opened up a can of worms here with that question, because there are people who work in Wall Street, right, who are at the trading floors and who, again, like me and you, that are just, they work like plumbers and electricians who just show up and trade and go home. Like, that was my thing, being on the trading floor. And then there's these architects of crazy financial products that people get fleeced on, right? And so Wall Street kind of does its own thing, and this is why we have to be so careful with some of the exotic products that Wall Street offers. And we have to be especially careful for the conversation that comes out of Wall Street, and it comes out of the financial news media. And my gosh, if there's been a theme that I've pounded the drum for, it's like, stop listening to mainstream media and the financial press, because they are designed to create clickbait. They're designed to separate you from your money. You know, Warren Buffett would say that a bear market is where stocks are returned to their rightful owners. We become the rightful owner if we look now at the stock market. You don't hear that on financial news media. You don't hear financial news media telling people long-term trend lines and that inflation is down and the commodities are down 20, 30, 40% in the last, you know, 6 months. Do you hear that? I don't hear that. So this is kind of why I love this business, is because I feel that I can actually look at the numbers. I can look at trends. I can look at charts. I can look at fundamentals and say, hey, you have to ignore what you see on CNBC or on these other financial guys who are really just entertainers, and take a look at the data of what's really going on. And that's why I think we've been really a successful asset and advisor to our clients, because we're way more contrarian than most people think is necessary. Like, if you're following mainstream media with your 401k portfolio, you're just not doing well over the last 10 years.
Well, Bill, I know that you are aware that there are people hurting. In fact, I was talking to my wife last night at the kitchen table, ironically, and she reminded me, because I told her we were going to chat about this morning. She goes, just remind Bill that eggs were 48 cents a dozen 2 years ago. They're now over $2.
I know.
2 years ago, she paid $1.88 for a gallon of gas. Now it's back at about $4.09 in the Glenview area this morning. She says inflation is 8%, but if feels a lot light higher than that. How can that be?
Well, John, I understand it. And like I said before, the last place that we see prices decline is at the gas pump in the grocery store. And let's also, if we're going to be completely honest, you know, I still saw eggs at 88 cents a dozen at the grocery store and a dollar per dozen back when inflation was already ticking off and ticking off to the upside. So the grocery store and the gas pump were very slow to respond. Remember, in April of 2020, crude oil was a negative $40 per barrel. I was picking up gas for in the mid to low $2 per gallon, yet we saw crude oil continue to trade higher and higher and higher before the prices were reflected at the gas pump. I mean, you know, maybe crude, we had the conversation with peak oil back when it was $130 a barrel back in 03 or 04, I think it was. I don't remember exactly what year it was. And it took about a year for prices to go back down again. So it's going to take time. It's going to take some time. But we just have to, every single one of us, John, I still have two kids at home. You know, we had three grandchildren and my daughter living with us here for a short time. And that really put a dent in the family budget when I had to feed five more people for a while. Right. So it's not easy. I believe me, I totally see what's going on, because I do a lot of grocery shopping too. But again, be patient. You're going to see these commodity prices decline. You're going to see it at the grocery store. You're going to see milk, butter, and eggs getting, you know, less expensive as time goes on. Now, I'm not going to say they're going to go back to the 80 cents per dozen, but I'm just saying they will become more affordable in the very near future. So let's see what happens around Thanksgiving, right? We'll come back and reconvene in November and see if eggs are down from $4 a dozen to something more manageable. Because I think it's happening. I think we're in the process of seeing that right now.
Well, you've seen it time and time again over the years. What goes down comes back up, and then it goes back down. So we'll see at Thanksgiving. Here in the final moments, can you share just a few practical ways that the average person might deal with this current economy?
Sure.
We have about 2 minutes.
We have to be, again, open-minded and shift our mindset to think about maybe inflation could be waning, like slowly. Again, it's going to be slow to see that at the grocery store, but we're going to be able to see some opportunity, I think, both in the stock market and the bond market, right? So take a look at those contributions. Potentially, if you can, add a little bit or shift and rebalance. You know, we've done a lot of rebalancing lately of you know, the stock and bond mix. We have to, again, if you're looking at bonds, you know, they're paying 4.5%, 5%. The S&P is earning 5%. And again, courage is not having the lack of fear, but acting in spite of it. So whatever your investment plan is, we have to make sure that we stick to the plan and make sure that we don't sabotage our retirement, because that's going to be the hardest thing not to do at this time frame. And I'm looking at a chart of eggs right now. Eggs are down maybe 40% from their high in 2016. How can that be? How did 2016 eggs were $2.20 a dozen, and now they're down to $1.80 per dozen? So again, we're seeing this spread, this shift, this difference between what's happening in the raw material world and at the grocery store. So let's just be patient here. I think we're going to be okay. I know we're going to be okay.
Be not afraid, as St. John Paul II said so many times. Bill, as always, really appreciate you being with us.
John, thank you so much for having me and letting me talk about these things. This is really, I just love it.
Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Mighty Girl. When Keisha Thomas was 18 in 1996, the KKK held a rally in her hometown of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hundreds of protesters turned out to tell the white supremacist organization they were not welcome in the progressive college town. At one point during the event, a man with an SS tattoo and wearing a t-shirt emblazoned with a Confederate flag ended up on the protesters' side of the fence, and a small group began to chase him. He was quickly knocked to the ground and kicked and hit with placard sticks. As people began to shout, "Kill the Nazi," the high school student, fearing the mob mentality had taken over, decided to act. Thomas threw herself on top of one of the men that she'd come to protest, protecting him from the blows. In discussing her motivation after the event, she stated, "Someone had to step out of the pack and say, this isn't right. I knew what it was like to be hurt. The many times that had happened, I wished someone would have stood up for me. Violence is violence. Nobody deserves to be hurt, especially not for an idea." Thomas never heard from the man after that day, but months later, a young man came up to her to say thanks, telling her the man she had protected was his father. For Thomas, learning that he had a son brought even greater significance to her heroic act. As she observed, for the most part, people who hurt, they come from hurt. It's a cycle. Let's say they had killed him or hurt him really bad. How does the son feel? Does he carry on the violence? Mark Brunner, the student photographer who took the now famous photograph, added that what was so remarkable was who Thomas saved. She put herself at physical risk to protect someone who, in my opinion, would not have done the same for her. Who does that in this world? And in response to those who argue the man deserved a beating or more, Pulitzer Prize-winning commentator Leonard Pitts Jr. offered this short reflection in the Miami Herald, that some in Ann Arbor have been heard grumbling that she should have left the man to his fates only speaks of how far they've drifted from their own humanity and of the crying need to get it back. Keisha's choice was to affirm what they have lost. Keisha's choice was human. Keisha's choice was hope. Galatians 3:28, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus."
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Really do appreciate it. Coming up next hour on Morning Air, Ann Gunlock, the founder and editor of Embodied Magazine, will join us to discuss this new Catholic magazine that explores life with a theology of the body lens. And career coach Bruce Lochenour will continue our discussion on the seven deadly sins of interviewing for that dream job. So stay with us. There's a lot more to come on Morning Air next hour here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.